And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
This is day two of our on-air fall fundraiser. And while the volunteers have gone home, the volunteers that answer your phone calls, you can still support at our website, supportkuaf.com. Again, this is a time of year when we come to you, our listeners, and ask that you help support the programming that you hear every day. Because we here at KUAF, we're a community radio station, and we can't do it without the community's help. And along those lines, we're not asking just one member of the community to do that. Every little bit adds up. So if you can do $10 a month, I mean, it really does add up.
Get a lot of people who give us $10 a month, right. And that adds up. You know, 10 people giving $10 a month, that's, you know, $100 a month for us. And that starts to add up. And it helps us get that much closer to our goal for this fundraiser. And it helps us fulfill our budget, which is a little over $1 million this year. I mean, that's the money that we need to keep this place running, to keep the lights on, and to pay for shows that we get from NPR, such as Morning Edition, All Things Considered, Performance Today. We need every little bit helps.
And that's what I do. I'm a sustaining member. I have a little bit deducted from my paycheck each and every month because I'm a University of Arkansas employee. And by being a sustaining member, I don't have to worry about that. I know that KUAF is getting my support each and every month because I listen every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not proud of that, but maybe, you know, there's a bill lying on my kitchen counter and I forget to pay it.
Right.
I get the pink slip for my water bill, actually, sometimes quite often. But that's the beauty of being a sustaining member, is that I know that my support is being directly used.
You've committed to making that contribution every month, and it's very helpful for people that are busy or just people like me who tend to forget things. You sign up to become a sustaining member, and we will, you know, take that $10 or those $20 out of your checking account every month. Or if you prefer your credit card, we can charge your credit card every month. And as you mentioned, University of Arkansas employees, we can do a payroll deduct every month. We have lots of ways for you to sign up to be a sustaining member.
And you can sign up at our website. Supportkuaf.com.
Thanks to everybody who has contributed so far and to those of you who are contributing right now.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And with us inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Michael Jonathan, who is the host of Woodsong's Old Time Radio Hour and in Northwest Arkansas this weekend. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me out here. It's my first time in Fayetteville, and to be able to visit the station. You guys are a fairly new affiliate to the Woodsong's family, and it's really nice to be here.
What is happening in Eureka Springs on Saturday night is the Woodsong Show. What have you been doing? How do you get ready for an on-location show?
Well, that's none of your business. Woodsongs goes. We are home-based in Kentucky. We have a beautiful Lyric Theater, 500-seat hall in Lexington, Kentucky, and we've done over 700 shows there since the beginning. And every now and then, I'll take the show out on the road. We just got back from Dublin, Ireland. 2,000 people piled into a beautiful concert hall along the Liffey River in Dublin, and we did two broadcasts in one night there. We've already been on the road to Jonesboro several years ago, and then about a year and a half ago we went to Conway and outside of Little Rock we did two broadcasts celebrating the music of Arkansas there, and a lot of folks, you know, Charles Ragsdale and Mike and a bunch of other folks from Eureka Springs were at that show and said, would you come to Eureka Springs? And they have this beautiful old theater there called the Odd, the Auditorium. And we said, yeah, let's do that. So what we're doing Saturday night are two shows celebrating the music of the Ozarks. But to help us do that, we have Leroy Troy and the Tennessee Jug Band on one show. They're out of Nashville. And they do a very old-timey Ozark-style music. But it's sort of a hee-haw on steroids is what they do. The second show, we're going to have more Ozark music, but we have Michael Martin Murphy. And the reason I invited Michael, aside from the fact that, you know, he's a dear friend of mine, but, you know, this part of Arkansas has a deep heritage in what became cowboy music. And Michael is sort of America's cowboy. And so we're gonna have Michael Martin Murphy as part of the second show. So it's a huge night of music in Eureka Springs, and we're just really glad that KUAF could be part of it.
Well, I understand traveling and performing is not something that is new to you. You actually kind of got your start traveling through the Appalachians and learning to play there. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I read a little bit about your travels, and it's very fascinating.
None of it was true. It's just PR. No, I grew up in New York, and my neighbor was was someone that we used to make fun of in Beacon, New York, right on the Hudson River. He was a nice enough fella. He was an old guy that played the banjo. He claimed to be a musician, but he played the banjo. And to a bunch of rock and roll teenagers, that didn't make sense. He'd show up at our schools after a thunderstorm with an axe to help chop up the fallen limbs and stuff, because he liked chopping wood. And, you know, that made us uncomfortable even back then, you know. So when I was 18, I got a call from a friend of mine, you know, hey, dude, you want to be a DJ? And I was like, okay. So I went from New York to Laredo, Texas, on the Mexican border at 18 years old and became the midnight to 6 a.m. DJ. That's the slot they give you when you suck. And about 3 o'clock.
I did that for 3 summers.
Yeah. So, we
now both, I know. Now
we
I know.
Both
yes.
Sucked. That's right.
Yes.
So about 3 o'clock one morning, I had to play an oldies record, and I pulled out by happenstance, a song by Roger McGuinn and the Byrds called Turn, Turn, Turn. To everything, turn, turn, turn. And I noticed that it was written by my crazy neighbor. And I was like, oh, that's who Pete Seeger is. And so I got very inspired. And by the time the song ended, I decided I wanted to be a folk singer. So I moved to the Appalachians to get to what you were talking about, a little hamlet called Mousie, Kentucky. And I would go up and down the hollers with my guitar and banjo, knocking on doors and learning old songs. It was a very romantic thing to do. You know, when you're footloose and fiancé-free, you can do stuff like that. And I started touring, and that's what I do. That's how I make my living. I do concerts around the nation and perform.
Pete Seeger was your neighbor.
Yeah. I was living next to folk music royalty, and I had no clue. Didn't have an idea who he was. I didn't care who he was, because nothing he had plugged in. You know, I was a rock and roll head. You know, banjo, come on, give me a freaking break. Now it's that's my one of my main instruments.
Would you give that advice to any young person you know at 18 or 19 to be footloose and go traveling and
knocking
meet
on
strangers?
Random doors?
Yeah.
When else are you going to do it? When else? You can't do it when you're 30 years old with a wife and children. Yes, explore life, experience life. If you have a dream, don't hold back. I mean, this is what life is for. It's not to listen to other people and constrain yourself and be deluged by perceived rules that really don't matter. If you have a dream, you want to play the banjo and go on the road. If you want to write songs, try it. At least you can say you tried it, right? I mean, how hard can it be? I listened to Prairie Home Companion one afternoon, and I said, gee, I wonder how hard can it be to do a live audience radio show? And so we did it. You know, a couple years ago, I saw my first opera. I never seen an opera before, and I was like, how hard can it be to write an opera? So I wrote a full symphonic orchestrated opera with opera singers and everything. It's about the day Woody Guthrie wrote This Land Is Your Land. If you don't believe me, go to WoodyGuthrieOpera.com, and you can hear the opera.
How hard can it be?
How hard can it be?
Well, I don't know.
How hard can it be? So, yes, pursue your dreams. Yes.
Can we hear something?
No.
Okay.
No. Yes, sir, of course you can. I've got my long neck banjo here, and we have Melissa Deaton from the Woodsongs broadcast, who sings on the show. Every week, and she's going to sing a song. We're going to play a pretty song for this time of year about all the flowers and beautiful trees that are out there, okay? It's called Flowers. Hair of gold and eyes like stars shine like diamonds on my heart. You are love and earth to me, so flowers I will give to thee. The morning sun like marigolds I will give for you to hold. All my love and loyalty are in these flowers I give to thee. I will give you roses red and pick for you a flower bed, a living crimson tapestry. Flowers I will give to thee. I hope the nighttime stars that shine give you rest and peace of mind. In the morning light you'll see a world of flowers I give to thee. I will give you roses red and pick for you a flower bed, a living crimson tapestry. Flowers I will give to thee.
So how, back to why you're here in town for the Eureka Springs performance, how do you decide who is going to be on your show?
Mm.
We've talked a little bit about this specific
sure.
instance, but in general, how do you?
Well, Woodsongs is all volunteer run. I don't get anything to do Woodsongs. The entire crew, the TV directors, the audio engineers, the camera people, everybody's a volunteer. The artists that come on the show are not paid. Woodsongs airs on 509 affiliates around the world, radio stations around the world. KUAF is one of our, you know, wonderful affiliates. We love you guys. And I get a lot of email from your Saturday afternoon broadcast.
Good.
So I know a lot of listeners are listening, tuning in, and responding. It airs on PBS nationwide in about 91 million homes. And it airs on American Forces Radio Network, which puts us in 173 nations, every military base, every U.S. naval ship at sea gets to hear Woodsongs twice every week. And so a lot of artists submit to be on the show. And if you go to woodsongs.com and click on the submission button, you'll see the rules. You send in your CD and your bio and write your information on the back of a $20 bill, and we'll listen. No, I'm just kidding. So, but I say it on the show every week, and I mean it. You don't have to be famous. You just have to be good. We are living in a world of organic roots music explosion. There are so many wonderful artists out there, and it's getting harder to reach the audience. You know, commercial radio, I'm not knocking commercial radio, but commercial radio has such a restricted playlist. You know,
yeah.
You know, the commercial station in, for example, Fayetteville is being told what to play by a consultant in Seattle. You know, I mean, it has nothing to do with the local community. Again, that's the way that process works, and I'm not knocking it. I'm just explaining it. Public radio is the last gateway between genuine art and the audience. It's the last gateway between a true musician performing from the heart, not a chart. And it is public radio that opens the gate between the artist, the true artist, and their audience. And so I wanted Woodsongs to serve as a portal for that. And so artists, you know, heard on your station that we're coming, and we've gotten several hundred submissions for these two little shows. I mean, the stack, Melissa's been in the office, right? The stack of the CD submissions is huge. And so we have a little team that goes through all the CDs, listens to it, and then I pick the ones that'll be on the show.
What is the charge like different? I'm not a musician, so I don't know. But what is it like to play live with people who are right there and rapt and paying attention as opposed to being in the studio?
Well, it's the difference between two-dimensional and three-dimensional. We're living among the first generation in human history that gets most of their art and music as a two-dimensional form. They're emailed in MP3. They Google them, they YouTube them, they iTunes them, they download them, and they're done. And they've never seen them live. And this is the first generation in our history that gets most of its music in what used to be a front porch society. I mean, here in Fayetteville, I mean, look at all the beautiful front porches on the homes around here because it's an older community. But across America, they don't even put front porches on the homes anymore. And that's where this music used to be played, in living rooms and front porches. It was part of the community tapestry of how neighbors got to know each other. And so performing live is by far better. And to a new generation of people, of kids, it's a unique thing because they don't see real performers anymore. It's all flat screens and smartphones and you know, two-dimensional stuff. And we all live in the two-dimensional world on radio, but the purpose of public radio is to use the two-dimensional format to encourage community activity. You know, it's not limited to just that. We're trying to encourage people to pick up their instruments and play and be part of it. I mean, WoodSongs has helped start over 90 little WoodSongs coffee houses around the nation. You know, people opening up their living rooms and garages. And the guy in Las Vegas turned a mechanic's garage into a concert hall. He calls it the Garage Mahal. You know, it's a WoodSongs coffee house, you know. And we're helping our listeners present music in their hometowns, become part of the three-dimensional real world. So that's a good question. Playing live is best always.
Well, how about one more song?
No.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I feel like I'm part of Rowan and Martin here.
I'll pick up the guitar. So I live in Kentucky. I live in a log cabin on a hill on 7 acres outside of Lexington, Kentucky, and it was a beautiful, foggy morning, and that's what inspires songs, is what's around you. And what's the name of this again?
Looking Glass.
Thank you very much. It's so new that I don't remember the but it'll feature Melissa a little bit, so here we go. It's another foggy morning. I struggle with a foggy moment, parts of dreams running round my head. I reach across jumbled covers searching for my lady lover. That's the way I wanna stay with you. Once upon a time I thought I knew I would be forever blue, looking for a magic moment, searching for my one and only you. Then I found my lady lass, looking through a looking glass, and that's the way I wanna be with you. Once upon a time I thought I knew I would be find another you, looking for a magic moment, searching for my one and only you. And I found my lady lass, looking through a looking glass, and that's the way I wanna be with you. It's another foggy morning. I struggle with a foggy moment, parts of dreams running around my head. I reach across jumbled covers searching for my lady lover. That's the way I wanna stay with you.
That's the way I wanna stay.
Thank you.
And then the old bluegrass ending.
So that's freshly written.
Yeah, it's just like a week and a half old or so.
Wow. So do you ever, not to get too philosophical, but do you ever think about the fact, okay, your neighbor was Pete Seeger, who you didn't know. Then you go half a continent away to do this gig as an 18-year-old, and you happen to play a song that happens to be written, and that inspires you. I mean, I don't know if you believe in random things or whatever, but some tumblers came together to make something happen.
Well, you know, sometimes when muse is ignored, nothing happens. So, that, you know, it was just a case of paying attention as things, you know, happen. I mean, you know, to end up writing a full-blown opera about my neighbor that, you know, who does not play opera music, you know, that alone. My hero when I was a kid was, and I don't want to get too Michael about this, but when I was a kid, my big hero was Henry David Thoreau. I used to walk around with Walden in my back pocket. And, you know, Thoreau was one of the world's biggest losers ever. You know, he couldn't get a record deal. His first book was a huge flop. There's an entry in one of his diaries when the publisher returned all the books. He said, I now have a library of 900 volumes, 700 of which I wrote myself. You know, because, you know, the publisher returned all the books. His second book published was Walden. You know, it took him 7 years, and it only sold 236 copies, and the publisher dropped that. You know, so here is a beautiful writer that nobody understood, nobody cared about. And when he died, he was totally obscure. If had it not been for Ralph Waldo Emerson, nobody would have known who he was. And yet he became the father of American literature, the most quoted writer in American history. And, you know, I saw my first performance play, you know, about 5 years ago. I'd never seen one. Even when I was in school, I never saw a play. I never attended a play. And I was like, well, how hard can it be to write a play? So I wrote a two-act, four-character play about the final 2 days Henry was at Walden Pond before leaving, you know, the cabin. He was at the cabin for 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days, and left with a bunch of journals. He didn't know what they were. And so I wrote this play, and we put it on a website thinking that maybe 12 or 15 theaters will download the script and perform it. And in 24 months, we had over 8,400 registered performances in 42 countries. It got translated into four different languages, and it became a yearly PBS special now on public television every Earth Day. PBS stations around the country air the Walden Play. And so if you go to waldenplay.com, your schools can perform the play here in Fayetteville in this spring if they wanted to. It's free. But you just have to register the performance. The thing is, an artist has to be aware of the muse, no matter what it is. And to do that, you have to ignore the market forces around you. In other words, the people telling you no,
yeah,
screw them.
So you hear Prairie Home Companion, you think, how hard can it be to do a live show, and you do it. You go to an opera, you think, how hard can it be to do an opera, so you write one.
Right.
You see a live play, and you think, how hard can it be, so you write one. I hope you don't go to a magician and see him cut a woman in half.
Well, I've tried that, and that's hard. No, my next project is a motion picture. I was like, how hard can it be to write a movie script? So I wrote a movie script of the most amazing woman story to come out of Appalachia. If you go to CaneyCreekMovie.com, starts with a C, CaneyCreekMovie.com, you'll see this amazing story. You'll get the story of the movie script, what we're working on. Yeah, I completed the movie script, and we're trying to arrange the movie production now. How hard can it be?
How hard can it be?
Get off your tail and just do it. Quit whining. Stop thinking about it and do it.
Michael, Melissa, thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you guys for having a great coffee, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
I needed it.
Good.
Michael Jonathan's Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour will perform two shows tomorrow night at the Auditorium in Eureka Springs. For tickets and more information, you can visit theaud.org.